Questions 14 to 16 are based on the following talk. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 14 to 16.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I'm going to show you how to gain high scores at the game Battle Zone. In this game, you are in a tank, and the screen shows your view of the landscape outside. You gain points by shooting enemy tanks, super tanks, missiles, and saucers. Expert players can gain scores of around 150 points at this game. To get a high score, you have to destroy 20 tanks as quickly as possible. After this, the super tanks, missiles, and saucers appear. These are worth far more points than the ordinary tanks. However, the number of tanks you have to destroy before the super tanks appear varies on different machines. Try to approach an enemy tank from the side or the back so it cannot shoot at you. Then, when you get close, turn to face it. Line it up in your sights and fire before it turns to shoot at you. If you miss or are too slow, quickly escape by moving out of the enemy's line of fire. You can then move around the enemy and come in from another side. When a super tank appears, try to destroy it as quickly as possible. Then, wait safely behind an obstacle for a missile or flying saucer. The cubes are useful objects to hide behind, as you can fire over them without exposing yourself to danger. The missiles will fly straight at you, but they are difficult to hit, so do not shoot at them until they are quite close. The saucers are much easier to hit, but do not chase them as you will be open to attack from enemy tanks. There are other skills which I'll come to tomorrow. Lots of luck! You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 14 to 16. Questions 17 to 20 are based on the following talk. You have 20 seconds to read questions 17 to 20.
Is language a basic human need without which a child at a critical period of life can be starved and damaged? Judging from the experiment of Frederick II in the 13th century, it may be. Hoping to discover what language a child would speak if he heard no mother tongue, he told the nurses to keep silent. All the infants died before the first year. Today, no such drastic deprivation exists. Nevertheless, some children are still backward in speaking. Most often the reason is that the mother is insensitive to the signals of the infant. There are critical times when children learn more readily. If these sensitive periods are neglected, the ideal time for acquiring skills passes, and they might never be learned so easily again. Linguists suggest that speech milestone is reached in a fixed sequence and at a constant age. At 12 weeks, a baby smiles and utters vowel-like sounds. At 12 months, he can speak simple words and understand simple commands. At 18 months, he has a vocabulary of 3 to 50 words. At 3, he knows about 1,000 words, which he can put into sentences. And at 4, his language differs from that of his parents in style rather than grammar. Recent evidence suggests that an infant is born with a capacity to speak. What is special about man's brain is the complex system which enables a child to connect the sight and feel. And even more incredible is the young brain's ability to pick out an order in language from the hubbub of sound around him, to analyze, to combine and recombine the parts of language in novel ways. But speech has to be triggered. And this depends on interaction between the mother and the child. Insensitivity of the mother dulls the interaction because the child gets discouraged and sends out only the obvious signals. Sensitivity to the child's nonverbal cues is essential to the growth and development of language. You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 17 to 20. Questions 21 to 24 are based on the following talk. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 21 to 24.
It has often been remarked that the saddest thing about youth is that it is wasted on the young. According to a recent survey, today's college freshmen are more materialistic and less considerate of others than at any time in the 19 years of the poll. The survey disclosed what I had already suspected from informal polls. If it, whatever it may be, won't compute, and you can't drink it, smoke it, or spend it, then it holds little value. Not surprising in these hard times, the student's major objective is to be financially well off. Less important than ever is developing a meaningful philosophy of life. It follows then that today the most popular course is not literature or history, but accounting. Interest in teaching and social service is at a low, along with ethnic and women's studies. On the other hand, enrollment in business programs, engineering, and computer science is way up. That's no surprise either. A friend of mine was a sales representative for a chemical company, and she was making twice the salary of her college instructors her first years on the job, even before she completed her 2-year associate degree. I'll tell them what they can do with their music, history, literature, or whatever, she was fond of saying. And that was 4 years ago. I shudder to think what she's earning now. Frankly, I'm proud of the young lady, though not her attitude, but her success. But why can't we have it both ways? Can't we educate people for life as well as for a career? In a time of increasing specialization, more than ever, we need to teach young people what is truly important in life. Oscar Wilde had it right when he said that we ought to give our ability to our work, but our genius to our lives. You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 21 to 24.